Good morning, and welcome to the worship of God here at Danville Congregational Church via our live stream. We are so glad that you were able to join us here this morning. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. We're people of extravagant welcome. No matter what you look like, talk like, think like, sing like, move like, dress like, vote like, or love like, you are welcome here this morning. If you are joining us online today, we invite you to type into that chat box who you are and where you are coming from. During this season of social distancing and social isolation, we encourage you to stay connected with us here at Danville Congregational Church, and we have a few different opportunities for you to do just that. For this morning's service, you can follow along with our online bulletin. On our homepage, under the picture slideshow that appears there, where it reads, "Click here for today's bulletin," we invite you to click that link, and the bulletin should appear. If you have a joy or a concern, be sure to send it to Pastor Todd or myself via email each week, and we will include that joy or concern in our prayers of the people every Sunday. On Wednesdays at both noon and 7 p.m., we will be offering a time for connection and spiritual practice for our community via Zoom, a web-based video technology program. Each Tuesday, a special This Week at DCC email will be sent to everyone on our distribution list with a link to the online gathering. The 7 p.m. gathering will be specifically for our families, youth, and children. Speaking of email, we encourage each of you to pay close attention to your email in the coming weeks from DCC. We will be using email as our way of communicating announcements and updates every Tuesday and Thursday from DCC. If you're not on our email list and you would like to be, please send an email to office@danvillechurch.org and make your request, and we will add you to our distribution list. Finally, if you are in need of pastoral care during this time, we invite you to email Pastor Todd or myself, and we will set up a time to connect with you via Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, or simply over the phone. Beloved, during this season of social distancing and social isolation, let us not give in to fear. Let us take faith, and let us find comfort in one another, albeit through the uses of technology. Let us prepare our hearts and our minds for worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Jesus met the blind man at the city gate.
Jesus met the crowds at the edge of the sea.
Jesus met the leper in his pain.
And Jesus met the Samaritan woman in her isolation.
So with confidence we declare,
Jesus meets us here.
For we too are the blind and the broken, the hurting and the bleeding.
Jesus meets our scars, our fears, our prayers, and our dreams.
So you are welcome here.
All are welcome here.
Let us worship Holy God.
Like the whiteness of the sea, There's a kindness in God's justice, which is more than liberty. There's no place where earthly sorrows are more felt than in God's heaven. The love of God a further, God of love and mercy's
Please join me in the prayer of confession. When it comes to our faith, we know we could learn from the Samaritan woman who ran through the streets singing your name. So forgive us for the times when we remain silent about what our faith means to us. Forgive us for the times when we choose comfort over bravery. And forgive us for the times we shut people out, missing opportunities to run into you. Teach us to be brave like the Samaritan woman, and saturate our thirst for that which leaves us thirsty. With hope and gratitude we confess. With hope and gratitude we pray. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning is a long one. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have no food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of this word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." May God bless our hearing and understanding of these ancient words. Thanks be to God.
We're so glad that you are joining us through the magic of technology. Notice we've had a problem already dropping out, and I will be in the back watching that and restarting the live stream if it drops out again. I know one of the reasons that we were all so disappointed about the prospect of not meeting together is because we couldn't sing the Fruit of the Spirit song, right? I know that's what y'all were all concerned about. So we are going to sing the Fruit of the Spirit song nonetheless, and I wondered if Pastor Eric would come and help me with that. Of course he would. Yeah, did you hear that laugh? That means he's excited about it. So, Pastor Eric, you want to pick a fruit? Come up here in the front. And Janice, you want to pick the fruit next? All right, what do you pick? Is the fruit of the Spirit a bunch of grapes?
No!
No, the fruit of the Spirit's not a bunch of grapes. The fruit of the Spirit's not a bunch of grapes. If you want to be a bunch of grapes, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love. Oh, I didn't practice this. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, we're going to have to do it without the signs next time. Okay, hey, Miss Janice, do you want to come pick a fruit? Come pick a fruit? What do we have? Is the fruit of the Spirit an apple?
No, it isn't.
Are y'all sure? No, the fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. The fruit of the Spirit's not an apple. If you want to be an apple, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Hey, Miss Sandra, do you want to come pick a fruit? All right, one more time.
Come on up, Miss Sandra.
All right, pick a good one. Is the fruit of the Spirit an orange?
No.
No, the fruit of the Spirit's not an orange. The fruit of the Spirit's not an orange. If you want to be an orange, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everybody, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Good job. Thank you, Pastor Eric. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Miss Janice. So we think about the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to pick them up here because I want to talk about them for a second. We have a really incredible opportunity to learn about the fruits of the Spirit and to practice them. And I wonder how we might practice the fruits of the Spirit when we're practicing this time of what they call social distancing, meaning we got to stay in our houses, we can't go to school, we can't go to all the practices and the games and the recitals and the things that we're used to doing. And I wonder how we can receive and practice the fruits of the Spirit. Because now I know that silly song is going to be stuck in your head the rest of the day, and that's awesome. But I wonder, how might we experience joy during this time? Maybe one thing that I read was one of our families stayed at home last night and they played a game together. And I wonder if they experienced joy when they were at home, couldn't go anywhere else, and were at home together. Oh, this is going to be a fun one for the next week. Patience. How might we have opportunity to experience the fruit of the Spirit of patience for when we can't go outside or our parents are asking us to do some things that maybe aren't on our list of things to do. And so maybe we can practice the fruit of patience or kindness. I think about a lot of people who can't get outside their house right now. And I wonder if we were to show kindness by picking up our church directory or going on the app, church directory app, and finding some people to make a phone call and just spending some time with them over the phone. That could be a way that we could show kindness. Oh, self-control. Wow. So from not eating the entire bag of chips at one sitting, like I did last night, or perhaps when our siblings are getting a little bit on our nerves, maybe we want to practice a bit of self-control. I think love is a pretty obvious one, just experiencing the joy of and love from being with each other and being together like we are here today. How might we experience peace? Maybe some of us are able to get outside and take a hike or drive to a park and play frisbee or something like that, and maybe just experiencing the peace of nature. And so far beyond a silly song that helps us remember the fruits of the Spirit, this time, this special time that we're living in, gives us a chance to not only practice the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, but it also gives us the opportunity to experience those through the Spirit. And so I hope that you will continue to sing this song throughout the week, humming it as you're working at home or playing with your Legos or riding your bike outside, and that this peace of God is with you during this time. So thanks for listening, and I'm going to go check the live stream.
The title of this week's poetry prayer is "The Wilderness is a Place of Isolation. It is also a Place of Connection" by Sarah R. We sat around a six-person table, for don't most moments happen around a table? Six women, six heartbeats, six names and identities. We gathered there once every 12 days to read and pray, to learn each other's names. It was nothing more than a burger bar, and we were nothing more than the truths we shared. So sitting around a basket of fries, I assumed I knew everyone there. But then the woman directly to my right said quietly to a group of the six that night, "I had an abortion when I was young." And my heart stopped, and my heart sunk, for she had kept this wilderness in. She had carried this weight alone. She had grieved and prayed for peace, and I had never known. She went out to speak of hurt and grief, and of a prayer to God to end suffering. She went on to tell us her most vulnerable truth, and in an instant, that small leather booth became church. For in naming the wilderness, that space became not only the place of her greatest pain, but also the place where we became one. In an instant, she became her own light. And in an instant, we were changed. For in that instant, we saw her wilderness walk. So in that instant, we became six names, six united identities, one heartbeat. I think the wilderness does that. Sometimes you walk it alone, and sometimes you tell that story, and the booth becomes home.
Let's join together in a spirit of prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each one of us now, wherever we may be in this world. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week we talked about the fact that we as human beings crave certainty. But in the wilderness of life as we know it, and as we are experiencing it in this moment, we'll never achieve it. Jesus knows this, and so he offers us something even better than certainty. He offers us the gift of himself, the deep and abiding peace of Christ, always and forever traveling with us on our journeys. Today, I'd like to take a moment to talk about that gift. I'd like to talk especially about what we think we need in order to achieve and to accept such a gift. Specifically, I'd like to talk about four things we think we need and the one thing we actually need. We'll use Jesus' wonderful conversation with the Samaritan woman that we read from the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. It was a long passage of Scripture, and so if you'd like to revisit that passage of Scripture this morning, you should be able to click the online link in your bulletin, or I invite you to go to BibleGateway.com, and you can look up the passage of Scripture there. If you knew the gift of God, Jesus says to the woman, and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. This gift is Jesus himself, a loving friend, teacher, guide, savior of the world that God has given to the world. And not just the world, but in the entire creation, because of God's great love. In our story today, the gift of Jesus manifests in his offer of this mysterious living water, water that gushes up to eternal life. The same gift of Jesus manifests in our lives in a myriad of ways, some mysterious, some plain, some all-powerful and life-changing. But too often in life, we do not accept that gift because we don't think that gift is for us. We don't have the right social status, or we lack the understanding, or we just think we don't worship in the right way, or most often we just don't feel worthy of such a gift. In our story today, the Samaritan woman exhibits each one of these four reasons not to accept the gift of God that God freely gives out in love. She exhibits each one, but another force overcomes all. Simply put, she is willing to accept the gift. Give me this water, she says to Jesus. In effect, she is saying, help me accept the gift of God in my life. Let's look at each of these four and see how they may keep us from accepting the gifts Jesus showers upon us like springs of living water. First, in our world, we have social status. Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. That's what verse 6 reads in John's Gospel. It was about noon. Noon, an hour in the day when the sun is at its highest point, in the sky, beating down on everyone and everything on the surface. Why does she come to draw water at the hottest point in the day? Why doesn't she come to draw water in the cool morning or evening? After all, that's when most of the women would be out, but not our woman. She comes to the well at noonday. Presumably, the other women have cast her out of their circle. She's been socially isolated from the rest of her community, and she comes to the well alone during the heat of the day, and there she encounters Jesus. How often in our lives have we let social status blind us from believing or even believing that we deserve God's gift? Maybe we thought ourselves not good enough. Or perhaps we didn't feel all that put together. We didn't have the right clothes. We didn't come from a certain background. Maybe there was something in our past that was haunting us. More often than not, however, it's not our own social status, but our dismissal of the status of others that blinds us to the abundance of God's gifts available to us. We look down our noses at others who may look or behave differently than we do. We judge on first impression. We turn away. And we fail to notice the gift of God wrapped up in that other person. And yet, Jesus approaches this Samaritan woman, a person who has been outcast from her community, living in isolation, and not to mention a person from a completely different culture. And he offers her the gift of himself. And she is willing. All she needs is willingness. Give me this water, she says. Help me accept the gift of God in my life. The conversation continues. Jesus leads her down the path from the mundane into the metaphorical and past the metaphorical to the mystical. And yet her mind stays on the level of what is present, what is physically present and actual. When Jesus offers her living water, she expects never to have to come back to the well for honest-to-goodness H2O. She doesn't understand the mysteries that Jesus is sharing with her, but she knows she wants to share in those mysteries. She wants to share in his life, despite her lack of understanding. How often have we let our need to understand blind us from the gifts of God? We thought we needed to have everything figured out. We confuse understanding with belief, though the two are not the same thing. We didn't take the plunge into the life of faith with God because God was so unfathomable. God was just so unbelievable. And yet Jesus ushers this Samaritan woman, who sure doesn't get everything that he is talking about in that moment, and yet he offers the gift of himself. And she is willing. She has a willingness. All she needs is a willingness. Give me this water, she says. Help me accept the gift of God in my life. Next comes the hot button issue of the day for Jesus and this Samaritan woman. Is the right place to worship on a mountain in Samaria or in the temple in Jerusalem? Now, we might call this a question of orthodoxy. How often have we let our fervent desire to worship in a certain way or within a certain space blind us from the gifts of God? Now, don't get me wrong. Worshiping God is a wonderful thing, something that God calls forth from each one of us. After all, there are five of us, six of us worshiping here today, and there are many of you live streaming in to our worship here from the comfort of your home. When we get caught so tied up in the practice and rules of what worship has to look like, sometimes we can lose sight of the subject of that which we worship. In effect, we begin worshiping the act of worship itself. The Samaritan woman brings up this topic with Jesus, and Jesus gently pushes it aside. In its place, he gives her the gift of himself, and when he tells her, "I am the Messiah." And when he offers this gift, what does she do? She is willing. All she needs is willingness. "Give me this water," she says. "Help me accept the gift of God in my life." Now, finally, the elephant in the room. Self-worth. Our own self-worth. Does the Samaritan woman shade the truth when Jesus asks about her husband because she's embarrassed, or worse, ashamed of her marital past? Does she think Jesus will run away from her if he knew the man she's now living with is not her husband? What about coming to the well at noon? How much of a hit does her sense of worthiness take if she's made an outcast in her own town? And what of our own self-worth? The biggest mistake we make when we refuse to accept God's gifts is thinking we need to be worthy of them. And what's amazing here is that really none of us are actually worthy of them in our own right. These gifts from God, the creator of all that is, the God of the universe, humanity as a whole will never be worthy of that gift in our own right. But that's not the point. The point is that God showers those gifts on us anyway. We are each in our divine uniqueness and diversity a beloved creation of God's, and because of that, and that alone, we are made worthy for such a gift. Jesus offers the gift of himself to the Samaritan woman, his deep and abiding peace, his own living water gushing up to eternal life. And her sense of worthiness, her confusion about worship, her lack of understanding, her outcast social status, these are all distractions that could hold her back from accepting such a gift. But thanks be to God, they do not hold her back. Despite everything arrayed against her, she is willing to accept the gift of Jesus in her life. All she needs is a willingness. All we need is willingness. The momentary yet momentous courage to say yes to God. In this moment right now where there's so much happening in our families, in our communities, in our world, What we need right now is a willingness to say yes to God, to allow faith, not fear, not uncertainty, to guide our lives and our relationships with one another. I invite you now in this moment to consider what it might be that is preventing you from saying yes to the gift of God in your life, the deep and abiding peace that Christ offers each one of us. If right now you cannot bring yourself to make such a consideration, I invite you to just allow it to sit, to marinate with that thought. And in a day, or perhaps this week, or this year, or even sometime in your life, or in the next life, I pray that you will allow God to free you from everything that keeps you from saying yes to God. And when that moment comes, dip your hands into the bucket. Feel the fresh moisture cool your fingertips. And say to God, give me this water. Help me accept the gift of you in my life. May it be so. Amen.
I invite us now into a time of prayer, where we will first consider the prayer requests that have been sent to us recently, and then we will pray together a prayer in the days of the coronavirus. Some of you may have received that by mail. We encourage and invite you to pray this prayer every day in the coming days. Let us enter into the solidarity of prayer with a moment of silence. Holy God, we know, we claim, we believe that you hear the prayers of your people. And so we entrust to you, O God, the prayers that are on our hearts, the things that may be too difficult for words, but things that we know that you hear and hold with us. And so those things, God, we ask your intervention, your blessing, your healing. We pray for our pastors and our church leaders and our preschool board as they make difficult decisions that impact so many. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Randy and Janice ask us to pray for Randy's brother-in-law, Arthur, who was hospitalized. He tested positive for the coronavirus. Randy's sister, Cheryl, is being tested as well. God, in your mercy and healing, hear our prayer. Trish invites us to pray for a family member who is in isolation due to an immune disorder and adds, may we keep such vulnerable members of our society at the top of mind when we are struggling to comply with social distancing. God, in your mercy and love, hear our prayer. We offer prayers for the health and safety of those who clean all our workplaces, schools, houses of worship, and community gathering places. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, hear our fervent prayer for all who suffer the effects of the coronavirus, its infection of sickness, fear, and anxiety. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May those who are infected receive the proper treatment and the comfort of your healing presence in this moment. God, in your mercy, may their caregivers, families, and neighbors be shielded from the onslaught of the virus and give solace to those who grieve the loss of loved ones. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Calm the anxiety and fear of those who fear its advent and protect those who are most vulnerable to its spread, the marginalized, the un- and underinsured, the immune compromised, the elderly. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide those who strive to develop tests, vaccines, and cure, that their work may limit and conquer the virus and restore communities to wholeness and health. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy One, known by many names, help us rise above fear. Assure us when we are fearful. Calm anxieties. Bring healing to all who are in need.
We ask all this and more through the intercession of the Holy Spirit and your child, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our loving God, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Beloved in Christ, I pray that this week that you will have a willingness to not allow fear or uncertainty to monopolize your mind and your heart, but a willingness to say yes to the gift of God in your life, a willingness to say yes to that gift, because it's in that gift that we discover the peace and abiding presence of God. May you be with God this week, each day, and every day. Thanks be to God.